Today on CityCast DC. So you might have seen the Metro ads about the Lou Stovall exhibit at the Phillips Collection. Lou is an octogenarian who really left his mark on the DC art scene, from his protest artwork in the 1960s to his founding of the DuPont Center as a gathering place for artists. And today, I am so excited to chat with him and his son, Will, at the museum itself about what his work means for the city. It's Tuesday, September 20th, 2022. I'm Bridget Todd, and this is CityCast DC. We are here with Mr. Lou Stovall and his son, Will. We're at the Phillips Collection, which is displaying your artwork. So I'm super excited to be here with you today. I want to start talking about your history a little bit. You know, you came to DC in 1962 to train at Howard University. What do you remember from that time studying in the 60s in DC?
I remember spending a lot of time with Professor Porter. He would drive us around Washington looking at the various buildings and so on. And of course, a few visits here to the Phillips.
Porter wrote one of the first histories of African-American art. So this was in 62 when my dad was a freshman student and his classmates at that time were Mary Lovelace, a wonderful painter, Sylvia Snowden, who's being recognized. They're both being recognized in a great way now. David Driscoll was a professor, James Wells, Lois Jones. So it was an incredible hotbed of artistic energy and talent from professors and students.
So as I look around at all of your art, I see a lot of silkscreen work. Why was silkscreen the medium that you decided to work with?
Well, because there hasn't been very much done with silkscreen up to that point. And it was something that I liked. I had a great facility in silkscreen. And since a lot of people didn't know about it and were interested in it, I thought, why not do silkscreen prints?
Yeah, I think it's important that your work really helps people see the importance of this medium. I'm happy to see it here. And so, Will, we know that you have curated this exhibit. What has it meant for your family to be working with your dad's art in this way?
Well, I should say, I feel like my parents have been working with this kind of particular history of the DuPont Center since day one. They moved into their home in the early 70s. The posters on exhibit here were in cardboard boxes and were left that way. It wasn't really until 2016 that I had a chance to open them. And it's something I wanted to do since I was a kid. I heard stories about my dad making a poster, for instance, for Miles Davis and wanting to see it and then being told, oh, it's in this box. You have to wait to see it. So it's been kind of a wonderful re-examination kind of this early history of my parents when they were around the same age I was when I started this in their mid-30s. It was almost like this link between my time, my presence, and my parents' own. So it was this wonderful kind of family endeavor.
That's so beautiful. What do you remember about your upbringing? Did you just grow up in a house full of art and artists and creatives?
Yes. Yeah. I think one thing about this exhibit is I think of there being a cast of characters that is the work of my dad and my mom, but also their friends, Sam Gilliam, who's also my godfather. You can't think of a kind of a bolder kind of person to have in any art context. He's just one of many who came through my parents' home. He and my dad made 21 prints together, and these prints were like crusades almost. They would take months to do, 100, maybe 130 colors all in one print. And unlike maybe the way silkscreen is traditionally done, where there's an image in mind beforehand, they would just start with nothing. They would just make a screen and then print and then just hope there's a kind of a trace of where they would go from there. It was a very emotional, dynamic process. So things like that were a big part of the environment of the house that I grew up in, of just people just coming in and working and hanging out.
It's incredible. So we just took a look at your painting In Every Tree and Wing on the right there. It's beautiful, lots of reds and blacks and oranges and bold colors. What do you like about this print? Why is this a special print to you?
The dynamics of the color as the colors are put together, that's what means a lot to me. And you'd have to tell me how it relates to you.
Yeah, I mean, something about this painting really speaks to me. It almost makes me feel a bit anxious, like the colors are so bold, it doesn't allow you to just passively look at it. It really invites engagement in a way that it's difficult to ignore. It's arresting, I guess, is the word I would use.
Oh, I love that. This room, a thought I had was to kind of show these investigations of trying to capture a harmony in the natural world. And it's something that I think had its culmination in a 1974 series my dad made called Of the Land, that coincidentally was also the year DC won its home charter and its right to vote for a local administration and mayor. But these pieces 2 years before, for me, maybe the way you were thinking of it or describing it is almost maybe the storm of all that energy before it kind of broke to something. So I love that there is a force to it, of a force that represents visually all that energy of the beginnings of DC home rule and the fight to have a local government. Another thing to say is technically they display a range of silkscreen techniques that my dad had been building at the DuPont Center since 1969, where the colors went from maybe 5 or 6 to 100. And it's really cool that this exhibit has a print from Jeff Donaldson, who was chair of the Howard Art Department in 1970. I've been told by my mom that Jeff Donaldson and my dad wanted to price it at $10, just like the other posters, that as many people who wanted it could have it.
Accessible. The brand new Arbor at Tacoma is built for your most convenient urban living. Whether you want to enjoy the vibrant Tacoma, D.C. community or comfortably retreat into a sleek sanctuary all your own, the kitchens have striking dark navy and white cabinets, and throughout the home, there are wood floors and smart home technology. Some homes even have a private outdoor space. With a quick walk to the metro, you can easily head into downtown or stay close and enjoy the retail that's on site. Located at 218 Cedar Street Northwest, the Arbor Tacoma offers brand new 1- and 2-bedroom condos starting in the upper 300,000s. Visit thearboratacoma.com for more information. That's Tacoma with a K. So thearboratacoma.com. So Will, we were just talking about one of the prints by Donaldson that used so many different colors, and here it is. It is stunning.
It was inspired by a newspaper article of an elderly couple being evicted, and then the photo screen is in the middle.
It has to do with Jeff Donaldson's imagination as to how the world would see and understand what was going through his mind as he pictured these two people standing in kind of a protective stance as they think about the keeping of the land. As a matter of fact, this was a direct reference to a news article related to the idea of protecting the land from development.
Definitely still relevant in D.C. today. I mean, feel like it still speaks to what's happening in our city right now.
Yeah.
I'm really drawn to this painting. It reminds me of my grandparents. My grandparents had this way of being. Like, it didn't matter that they were quite poor. They always had this air of pride. And in photographs, they look like they're a king and a queen. And this couple photo in the painting reminds me of that feeling as well, this feeling of pride and that coming from innately in them.
Yeah, so it's one of those great pieces that really presents almost the range of everything you can do in silkscreen. This print from the year after 1971 was printed by my dad in collaboration with Jeff Donaldson at the DuPont Center. So these were some of the first prints he would make for other artists. And at the same time, he was still making community posters. And I think this print is really amazing. It functions as a poster in a way with a message. The message is victory, but it is over nearly 100 colors. Everything about it is just a work of art.
So you mentioned that this was done for the DuPont Center. What was the DuPont Center?
It was a gathering place where artists would come and see what art was here and then celebrate quietly the whole idea of what they were doing and what they were thinking. The idea was to express what it was like to have a sense of quietude, a sense of place, a sense of ownership.
I found a written statement in my dad's diary that introduces the DuPont Center in a wonderful way that does it better than I think anything else. So I'd love to read that if possible.
Yes.
From my dad's diary. Late summer 1968, I received a grant from Phil and Lenny to start a workshop for printmaking, silk screening. I got right to it and was really at it before I ever had a chance to know what I was doing or if it was really what I wanted. I guess that I vacillated a lot, and finally the confusion of activities dealing with the starting and operations of a shop set itself in a direction, and I pretty much let it go where it would, feeling that my best two qualities were, one, basically honest, and two, essentially serious. I added a third just to make sure, that being hardworking. I generally printed, and Lloyd designed, and after a while I asked Di to work full-time for me as my helper. So with Lloyd, Di, and myself, we designed, printed, and organized that first little shop into what I considered to be a really neat endeavor. Walter, who was with it from the beginning, and his eye for spectacle, had us count every single sheet of paper that we had printed during our first year of operations, over 51,000. A staggering figure, to be sure. And now, as I look back, we almost never left that shop, and we did love it. In September 1969, Walter said I could use DuPont Center for my shop. The space was something like 50 times what I had at that time, and we really needed space. So in short order, I packed up and moved in.
Wow, I'm so glad you read that. It really speaks to what you were talking about before, your father's work and his legacy really being part of the community aspect, like bringing together the feelings and the thoughts and the intentions of an entire community of a generation. It really speaks to that, I feel.
Yeah. It's amazing. So 68, in January, Lloyd McNeil had a show at the Washington Gallery of Modern Art. At that time, my parents were making posters for the Bohemian Caverns Jazz Club, for Summer in the Parks, Arena Stage. And this was a time where their work for themselves and their friends really started to kind of balloon into working for really key parts of the city. And it was that kind of energy that moved them into the DuPont Center that got the attention of Walter Hoffs and Lenny Stern, whose work is also on display here. She was an artist in addition to being the chairperson of the Washington Gallery of Modern Art. And it was a critical mass of energy that made it happen.
I love that. I love how many important DC figures and also institutions like Bohemian Caverns, that's a DC institution. It's gone now, but it really like highlights that it was the coming together of all these key DC figures and places of a time. It seems that so much of the work that came out of DuPont Circle speaks to the particular social and political climate of DC in the 60s and 70s. What were some key, I don't know, times that really showed up in the art or inspired the art?
Some of the earliest posters are from 1967 in the fall and move into 68, 69, 70. And during that time, they hit these wonderful milestones in DC organizing. One of the most interesting ones is November 68. It's a poster for the architect and urban planner, also advocate for DC home rule, Charles Cassell, who ran for school board. And in November 68, if you wanted to vote in a public election in DC, you could vote for school board or the president. There was no local government, no city council, no mayor to be voted on. And there were 89 candidates for 12 spots. And it's just amazing that that poster is here. Right next to it is a poster from that same month, November 68, toward a Black University conference at Howard University, an outcome of the April 68 Howard sit-ins. Another amazing one, the series of four posters for the Bohemian Caverns. There's Miles Davis, Wes Montgomery, and Roberta Flack, who's also a classmate of my dad's. And then to the left, April 68 is a wonderful poster called Heroes that was part of an event at the Bohemian Caverns organized by the SNCC, Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee organizer, Stokely Carmichael, in April 68, just weeks after the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King in the heart of the uprisings in D.C. It's just, it's amazing just how D.C. is in flux, the nation is in flux, and it's both happening that my dad was making posters for local organizing and federal organizing. Just next to them in that exhibit room there's a poster for the Peace Corps. The director of graphics was Washington Color School painter Paul Reed, who commissioned that poster in 1970.
So it's a poster for the Peace Corps. It says Peace Corps in bold blue and black letters at the top, and then in red and white in the middle, looking like a flag, it says, "I don't know what your destiny will be, but one thing I know, the only ones among you who will be really happy are those who have sought and found how to serve." And then on the bottom, we have some blue, it looks like it's almost flames, but it reminds me of a flag, and then a green border on the right side.
Well, this piece here, having to do with service in the community, many of us didn't have a whole lot to say about what was going on in the community except through our artwork. So the opportunity to do something for the Peace Corps about service meant a great deal to me, and especially the rights of people to express themselves. More than anything, that's what it was about. It was during a time that we were all looking, we meaning artists, were looking for ways to express their ideas about what life was like. But at the same time, it was an opportunity to experiment with color, to see how color related to all these desires and ideas that we didn't have before. I wanted to show what it was like to be of service. And so looking around for a statement of service and what it had meant to people over a period of time. And finally, just completing that particular thought, because as ideas ran through my head, it was very important to me to establish a sense of order, a sense of beginning, a sense of serving. It was all ideas that were abstract during that particular time. Yeah.
That's lovely. I have one last question. Do you have any advice for artists today, young artists who might be listening?
It's to find something to believe in, which is one of our most difficult thoughts today. It's to find something that we can believe in, that we can express, that would also complement our involvement with life as we know it right now. And that's a difficult thing, yeah.
Tall order. Mr. Stovall, Mr. Lou Stovall, and Will, thank you so much for being here today. This has been an honor. Thank you for your work. Thank you for your archival. It's so important to our city.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Before you go, here's some quick news. DC Council is returning from its two-month summer recess tonight, and there is a lot to tackle on their first session. Councilmember Mary Che is pushing a bill that would give residents $100 in Metro cash a month. There's also a proposal for the council to rewrite the city's criminal code. And they're establishing the new Migrant Services Department. Oh, and of course, it all has to get passed before December when the two-year legislative cycle ends. So better get to it. Meanwhile, the Air and Space Museum has released five different design proposals for the upcoming Bezos Learning Center. The center will include exhibition spaces, a restaurant, a terrace, and an observatory across 50,000 square feet and three floors in the east wing of the Air and Space Museum. The Smithsonian will be selecting the final plan in 2023. Also, a new conservative dating app backed by billionaire and DC homeowner Peter Thiel is launching next month and is already getting some hate. The app, called The Right Stuff, is invite-only and just can't seem to attract local users. DC is the first city that the app is set to launch in, and it will only permit heterosexual matches at the start. And y'all, finally, please be sure to check out the Lou Stovall exhibit. It's on display at the Phillips Collection until October 9th. And in case you didn't know, the Phillips is the oldest modern art museum in the country, so be sure to check out some of their permanent showcases as well. We loved connecting with Lou Stovall for this episode, and I know that you won't be disappointed. That's all for today here on CityCast DC. If you enjoyed the show, think of your artsiest friend and be sure to text them the link to this episode now. And while you're at it, be sure to hit that subscribe button. We'll be back first thing tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. Talk to you then. Well, I probably don't want to disparage Peter Thiel. Never mind. Because people always talk about how he's like a super villain.